The following message was delivered by Dennis Fisher. Mr. Fisher is a long-standing member of God's Church and has given numerous messages concerning God's plan and His work. And now, Dennis Fisher.
Brethren, early in the ministry of Jesus Christ, He gave what is arguably the most famous message ever delivered. That message is recorded in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. It is called the Sermon on the Mount, and it's there that I would like you to go today. It's Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to begin, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus begins this sermon with a formula for blessings which are called the Beatitudes. Now, beatitude is not a biblical word. As a matter of fact, it isn't even a Greek word. The word beatitude comes from the Latin term beatus, which means blessed or blessing. And a beatitude is an expression connected to a blessing. And the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5 encompass what are called the Beatitudes. The next four verses, beginning with verse 13 of Matthew 5, are occasionally referred to as the similitudes. I don't know if you know that or not, but it was called this because of its metaphorical language. And it is this part of the Sermon on the Mount that I would like to speak in this sermonette. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to pick it up in verse 13. And here's what Jesus says. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." And then he goes on to say, "You are the light of the world." And once again, this metaphorical language is being used. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And this is an absolute truth. You can see the city on the hill. And it says, "Neither do men put light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house." Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 16, because this is going to be the focus of this message. And here Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I want you to consider this. It is to let your light shine so that people could behold your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Here's the question, brethren. Why would God get the glory if they were your good works, or if they were my good works? Has anybody ever thought about this? After all, why shouldn't we get the glory? We were the ones that did the works. Well, I thought of this a long time ago, years and years ago, and I questioned it. It's not that I am opposed to God getting the glory, but it seemed peculiar that He would get the glory for something that somebody else apparently did. And I can remember asking God, "What does this mean? I mean, apply some logic to this. Apply some sense. Give this meaning. Is there a way to understand this verse to where you don't have to stretch to understand it? Where you after seeing it play out, it would be totally logical." Well, brethren, I actually saw it played out, and it was played out just a few weeks after I had pondered this question. And I want to tell you this story and see for yourself if you can tell how, by letting your light shine, that God would actually get the glory, and rightfully so get the glory. Here's the scenario. I worked for a Fortune 500 company. And at one point during my career at the company, myself and a team went down to San Diego. We left from Los Angeles County, and we were going to drive down to San Diego and spend a couple of days working in some of the offices of our corporation. And for some reason, and I cannot even remember, but we pulled off in Torrance, California, which isn't very close to San Diego, but it's on the way. We stopped there, and we had to drive down a street, and the street, there was heavy construction, and there was immense traffic. And as we are driving down the street, we come to an intersection and the light is red, and so we stop. And it's a very, very busy intersection. Going in another direction is a car in which is driven by a very, very elderly woman. The car is stalled. Now, mind you, there's intense traffic and people are honking and they're very impatient. And here I am with three other employees, and we decide to help the woman. Actually, it was the senior in the car. He was a senior vice president, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to pull into the parking lot. Let's help this person out." And so we pull into a convenience store. It's like a 7-Eleven. For some reason, I don't think it was a 7-Eleven, but it was a small little mini market of sorts. We pull in, and all of us run out into the intersection where this left turn lane is, and this woman is stuck here, and she is really beside herself. Well, this senior vice president, you know, encourages her to get out of the car. He says, "Ma'am, I think we can help you. So can I help you, get your car started?" And she says, "Of course you can." So he helps her out of the car and gives her to one of the people that was with him. In this case, it was a woman. There were three men, including myself, and one woman. And now we help this senior citizen, this very elderly woman, over to our car by this convenience store. We then hustle back to her car that's stalled. And this senior VP gets into the car, tries to start it, not going to start. You know, he lifts up the hood. He says, "I used to work in a garage when I was a kid. I can fix this thing. I can get it to work." And we all were kind of entertained by this. And he's trying to get this thing, you know, working. And he's getting himself a little dirty. But he's really trying hard to get it done. And it now looks like he's not going to succeed. So the thinking here is, let's move the car. We'll push the car out of this left turn lane and we'll push it into the parking lot where we are parked at this convenience store. Well, this makes sense, and so that's what we do. We push the car into the convenience store. Now, a small digression. Inside our car is an ice cooler where you put sandwiches and drinks and this type of thing. And we loaded it up with great deli sandwiches and potato salad, and I can still remember several bottles of Snapple. Well, the senior VP, who is now in charge of this rescue operation, asked the woman who is with us to give our guest, the senior citizen, a bottle of Snapple and a sandwich and try to, assure her that we are going to take care of this problem. The senior VP then asked this elderly woman, finds out what her name is and asks, "Where can we have the car towed?" And she is getting a little embarrassed and says, "Well, you are so nice and you people are so helpful, but I don't know what to do here." And he says, "We're going to get the car towed. We will move it for you to a place. Are you a member of the auto club or anything like this?" He then decides, "We'll call the auto club." So he grabs a cell phone. We call the auto club, and in about 20, 30 minutes, a tow truck arrives at this little mini market where the car is. And the tow truck driver is working just tirelessly trying to get this thing, started, but to no avail, it isn't going to happen. Now, mind you, while we are waiting for the tow truck driver, we are in a great conversation with this woman. We know all about her family, her children, where she came from, and we have become friends to this woman who was stranded with a car that wasn't going to start. After the tow truck comes, and we have now concluded that it is not going to, it's going to have to be towed to a location, we call the son of this elderly woman and tell him the plight that her mother is in, but inform him that we're on top of it and we're going to take care of it. We just want him to know where the car is going to be towed and this type of thing. He then talks to the tow truck driver, and this is just a precious story, brethren. he asked the tow truck driver, he says, I see your name's Bob. Is that right? And he sees it on his shirt and he says, yes. And he says, Bob, we have a real big problem here. We need to get this car towed to this location. And it indicates what the location is. And Bob says, no problem. Well, I'll tow it and we'll get it done. The senior VP then starts asking people, who has money? Does anybody have any money? And he comes to me and says, you know, Denny, do you have any money? And I said, well, yeah, I've got, you know, probably a couple of $100 on me. And he tells me, give me $50. $50. And I, you know, go into my wallet and give him $50. He then proceeds to take the $50 over to the tow truck driver. And he says, Bob, this is for you. And I want you to know what your job is. Your job is to make that little old lady feel great about this experience. I don't want her to be unhappy. I don't want her to be sad. I want her to look at this as just a wonderful experience that happened in her life. That's your job. You take the car to the station. If it costs more than that, I will pay more than that. Well, the tow truck driver says, you got it. I will do this. And the woman is driving off and she's got part of her pastrami sandwich in her Snapple and she couldn't be more thrilled. She hugs all of us and thinks we're the nicest people in the world. She drives off with the tow truck driver. We get back inside the car. And now we are going to proceed to San Diego. And brethren, we have spent a few hours in this experience. And as we are driving toward San Diego, or actually going toward the freeway to go to San Diego, I told this senior vice president, I told him how touched I was, what a thoughtful thing to do, and how impressed I was with it. His response was this. He said, Denny, I had a model. I had a model. Brethren, what do you think his model was? I mean, doesn't it just shout out to you? What was the model? Where did he get the idea to do this? This was the parable of the Good Samaritan in action. It was almost as if this man was trying to act out step by step what this wonderful parable that taught a wonderful lesson about brotherhood. It was just a splendid example, and I can still remember thinking this, brethren, as we are going in the car towards San Diego. And I thought this to myself and never would have shared it with anybody else in the car. But I thought, who is this God that is so great that he could inspire such a wonderful act of kindness in one of his children? Brethren, it wasn't our idea to do this. The model was God's idea. I want you to think of all the opportunities that we have, brethren, to let our light shine. How many examples are there in the scriptures that are models for us to emulate? The whole idea with letting our light shine, brethren, and I'm absolutely convinced of this, is to let God live in us. We are the conduit, brethren, that God uses for so many of his gifts. Our light is a declaration of God's goodness, of God's mercy, of God's compassion, and even of his patience. It is a way for us to proclaim the hope of his kingdom and the hope of his kingship. Think about this, brethren. Let your light shine so that those who behold your works will glorify your Father in heaven. Brethren, the day is going to come when so many who have been touched by God's people as a result of their light shining, they will truly express glory to God. And personally, I think they'll also express thanksgiving to us.